Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild? With me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Brave the Wild is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and now PodMN, of course. We talked about that last week, and we'll be talking about it all the time. It is a Minnesota-based application for Minnesota podcasts. So simply click in the sports area, and you'll see all the different choices, and you can just type in Minnesota Wild. Brave the Wild should pop up on there, blah, blah, blah. It would be great to have you on that as well. Apparently, they reward you for listening, that type of thing. I guess you get entered into sweepstakes or something like that. I'll learn more and more as we go, but it's a pretty cool application. Of course, any of the others work just fine. If you happen to download from TuneIn Radio or any of the others, please download. Don't stream it, download it, because streaming doesn't really count as a download then. It's just, I appreciate you listening, but it doesn't count as a download. The more downloads, the better, because, well, see, any hope of turning this into a business would be nice. So that's always important. Well, can't expect this to be too long of a show, obviously, but we're going to continue hockey discussion. We're going to get your questions on Twitter. We're going to talk about the signing of Hunter Jones here, which is nice. We got one more free agent signed here. Well, not even a free agent, a draft pick signed to an entry-level contract would make a whole lot more sense. We'll open up with that so we get that going right away here. Minnesota Wild goaltender Hunter Jones, of course, of the OHL Petersburg Petes. Very nice to have him on board last season. Well, since it's canceled, there would have been more games and everything, but we all know why. We just don't want to talk about it anymore, do we? OHL Petersburg Petes, pardon me, in 49 games. Hunter Jones plus 31-14, a massive improvement in the goals against average. Where a year ago in 57 games, his goals against average was 3.31. He was 28-24. Save percentage just above 90. But this year, 2.75 goals against average, 0.913 save percentage. So dramatic improvement. Of course, better win-loss record. Got a few ties now that those still exist, I guess. Or maybe a tie is like a shootout loss. I guess in the college world, that's what a tie is, a shootout loss. It just gets weirder and weirder, but in the old days we used to have something called ties, which was so boring. But I don't know how much more exciting it is though, getting stuck with a tie or watching somebody named, I don't even know, like Christensen, some guy named Christensen score a goal, who was like a fourth liner who never plays, score a goal and beat you in a big game that cost you a playoff berth or something like that. Yeah, cost you home ice advantage in the playoffs there, eh? That would suck. But no, Hunter Jones, 6'4", another one of those big goalies, big old goalies now. That's becoming more of a thing. The Alex Stelocks, John Van Beesbrooks, Mike Vernons of the past, the shorter guys, not as common as they used to be. Hudobin's made a living as a smaller goaltender as well for the Dallas Stars and former Minnesota Wild free agent years ago. Hunter Jones, the only 19 years of age, most likely will be right back in the OHL next year. And then the year after, as he turns 20 and beyond, hoping to get to the AHL. That would be great. Hunter Jones turns 20 on September 21st. I don't think he's going to be in the AHL next year. I doubt it. I'm guessing one more year in the OHL, and we'll see what happens. Goalies take a while to develop anyway. Rushing a goaltender, usually that's how you get the that's how you wind up with Darcy Kuemper. I mean, they kind of rushed him in there, and, well, it didn't work out. Also, sometimes it's between the years as well with Darcy Kuemper, Manny Fernandez. We could list the names over the years. Then there's more stable guys who occasionally get the short straw. That would be the others in the past. Josh Harding is like right at the top of my mind right there. He would always be the backup goalie and everything. And then they put him in against the Detroit Red Wings on the road back when, you know, Detroit was super good. He'd stop 40 shots and the Wild would lose 1-0 or 2-1. It was always devastating. Love Josh Harding, always did. But he would usually get the short straw whenever he would finally get in there. It'd be against, like, Detroit on the road. Like, oh, how nice. That's quaint. But that's how that went. Wild's goaltender history has been pretty solid. Obviously, we've had some dry stretches. Remember when Bruce Golub had to be the goaltender? He was actually kind of good, but, you know, he was a Band-Aid. Darcy Kuemper wasn't, you know, Darcy Kuemper was Darcy Kuemper. He was up and down. Yeah, he's good with Arizona now. Of course, he's good with Arizona. But even now, to this day, he still has moments where he loses it a little bit. But I suppose that's the goaltending world. But fairly rich goaltender history for Minnesota. We've, back in the day, in the riser days, or dumpster Doug is probably better put, thanks to Derek Felska, their great nickname, if I'm saying it correctly, dumpster Doug, because he was not a very good general manager, to put it light. Also want to thank Derek Felska. What an awesome show last week. Really appreciate him. I was thinking about even putting him on again this week, but then it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I can right now. Obviously, just the way things are, this and that. It's kind of a back and forth type of thing. Also, you know, we got to get more and more questions built up, this and that. But then again, we can just go on forever with questions or without questions when it's the both of us. But I love the questions you guys add on Twitter, though. Hashtag BTWMN. I cannot thank you enough. You guys are so valuable to this show. And Derek bringing them on board has been just wonderful, wonderful thing, especially in times like this. Also, again, I should mention there's a possibility this is the last show for a little while. You know how the whole rainy days and Mondays, as I call it, once the spring cleanups start, because I think it's going to happen soon the way things are going. It's consistently 50 and 60 degrees, and the snow is gone, and now we're just basically waiting for the ground to kind of dry up a bit. I don't think it's going to be too long until I start doing spring cleanups, which could mean a hiatus for the show. But there's always rainy days, so to speak, and this and that, and if the right mood is set and there's some more news, this and that, I'll pop on behind the microphone. It might be once every 2 weeks, might be once a month, this and that. And then ultimately, State of the Wild will pop up like it does every June, where we put a bow on the, shortened season. But generally, it was a full season, and talking about the playoffs and Stanley Cup final, and of course, putting a bow on the Wild season, passing out awards, that's definitely going to happen. Always in the first segment, passing out the awards, MVP, biggest disappointment, biggest surprise of the season, and I'll encourage all of you to put that in your comments on the Twitter account, at Brave the Wild. That would be a nice addition to the show. And then briefly comment as to why, if you want to. If you don't want to, then that's okay. But if you want to, more than more power to you. Maybe three separate tweets if you need to, if you have a lot to say about each player. You know, obviously the MVP, it's a pretty good chance there's a guy that's going to have stolen that away the last couple months. We'll see what happens there. Biggest disappointment, biggest surprise, this and that. But back to the goaltending situation, as we like to do here. You know, obviously, there's been a fairly rich history. The Wild started out pretty good with goaltending. Jamie McLennan just wasn't quite as good as Manny Fernandez. He was okay. He was very steady. He was solid. He was the first consistent goaltender for the Wild. Manny was the guy a lot of us wanted in there, and then he'd have his hot and cold moments. Then you had Dwayne Rolas and Mr. Steady. Certainly not the perfect goaltender, but damn good. And those guys carried us on that nice playoff run in 02-03. And eventually Backstrom ended up pushing Rolison out of there, basically. Or like Rolison ended up demanding a trade, and then we wound up with Backstrom as a backup, just kind of showed up. And he ended up being better than Manny. He ended up taking over Manny. Backstrom was in there too much. He was in there too much. He got banged up. Obviously, he started late, about 28 years of age. I still remember that. Back about 06, 07-ish. And, you know, he had his moments. He was absolutely fantastic. Wasn't good in the shootout, just wasn't. But he was a classic butterfly goalie. And then they just had him in there too much. Josh Harding would get like 15, 20 games a year as he became the backup goalie. And, you know, he'd been a prospect for years in the AHL. Originally juniors, of course, and then the AHL. He was in the with the Houston Aeros and Cleveland Lumberjacks, all that crap forever. Houston Aeros mostly. And just, unfortunately for him, he was just stuck down there forever, obviously during the Manny Rolly, all that stuff. Mostly, yeah. And then eventually Manny, Backstrom, blah, blah, blah. And then Harding finally comes up, hardly ever gets in there because we're just married to Nicklas Backstrom. And then the injury started creeping up, and all of a sudden, that was it for him. It was like a perfect time for Josh Harding to possibly take over, as he was so damn good. And then, yeah, and then he has the illness come up, and that was an absolute shame. And, of course, that being multiple sclerosis, just one of those type of things that just, you know, it derailed his career. It's just unbelievable because he was so good. He was so good. There was talk about he could have been the starter for the Canadian Olympic team. He was that good. That's how good he was. And then the MS takes over. It's just unbelievable. And ended up not being able to play anymore. He broke his foot kicking a wall. That was not too good. This and that. Just the frustration taking over for him. And then you have a very weird situation, of course. Backstrom, again, just getting more and more banged up over the years. Darcy Kuemper is not that great. Blah, blah, blah. Darcy Kuemper had some great moments. He started out super good, of course, against the Los Angeles Kings in particular. Was very successful against the Kings early on. I always said, yep, he's going to be in net against the Kings. And then eventually gets signed by the Kings after the Wild gave up on him, blah, blah, blah. But, again, Kuemper, major success early. And then, of course, you know, reality caught up, as it always seems to. And, man, you know, that was super frustrating at the end of the day. Things always seem to magically catch up on guys like that. And then it was weak between the years and would give up 6-7 goals against in games. I still remember games like Dallas Stars, 7-1, games like that where he just got obliterated. And it's like, whatever. The Wild then traded a third-round pick for Devin Dubnyk. And then there you go. Kemper's the backup, but he was still inconsistent. And you could just go on and on and on. It ends up being Mr. Stalock, Alex Stalock, becoming the backup, which a lot of us welcomed with open arms and blah, blah, blah. Nice, but Dubnyk was in that every game. And then it was like Nicklas Backstrom again. Every game. And he kept getting gradually worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The injuries kind of creeped up on him, or just age or wear and tear, blah, 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 which seems to happen to a lot of the goalies recently, Jonathan Quicks and such, where I think we're approaching more of a time where backup goalies should be between the pipes about 30 to 35 times a year rather than like 16, which is ridiculous. Overusing goaltenders, they're going to wear down early. Again, like Jonathan Quick, guys like that, you know, Jimmy Howard, guys like that, that were in net probably too much. And next thing you know, they're just not good anymore. Backstrom, obviously. You could go on forever. You could name 900 goalies that's happened to in the last 10 years or so. And it's a bummer because Jonathan Quick, Devin Dubnyk were two of the best goalies in the league. Carey Price, obviously, he's not as good as he was. Absolutely not. He was in net like too much as well. And, of course, kind of a messed up, weird organization in Montreal. Certainly not the legendary Canadiens that they once were. But, we have a lot of prospects in the system. We have Kaapo Kähkönen. You have, of course, again, Hunter Jones is one of the young ones. Derek Brisebois, guys like that. Matt Robson. I mean, there are a lot of guys in the system, one way or another, if they're in the AHL, if they're in the college rankings, the juniors, this and that. Philip Lindbergh, of course, with UMass, just like Mitchell Chafe. Chafe came from UMass as well. We'll talk about him in a moment, of course. Again, remember, he was signed last week. We'll see what happens. We'll just briefly kind of go over guys. But the goaltender situation, again, there's some guys that have a chance. I mean, Lindbergh has kept the goals against average below 2 at the college level, which is outstanding, absolutely outstanding. That's really good because college is at least like ECHL level, isn't it? A lot of good college players that aren't really good AHL players, good or decent ones, they end up thriving in the ECHL. So just saying he's at least, you know, I mean, college is at least at the ECHL level, I would say. In fact, sometimes you could argue that it's actually slightly above the ECHL. So if Lindbergh is playing well, that's a good sign right there. Alex Stezka, I'm pretty sure I don't think the Wild still have his rights. But obviously, Kaapo Kähkönen is the immediate goalie of the future, I got to think. But, of course, Dubnyk's still under contract for one more year. Can the Minnesota Wild trade him away? it's hard to stay there. Alex Dielak is inked, obviously, for another couple of years, and that's okay. I'm happy with Alex Dielak for another 2 years, at least as a backup, if not the starter. I would love to go into next year with Kakinen and Stalock. I would love to do that, maybe a platoon type of situation. Like, Stalock is the starter early. If Kakinen continues to play well, roll with him. But, of course, continue to put Stalock in as well. You don't want to overplay anybody. I don't care how young they are. Freak injuries happen, like they did to Kakinen, of course. Broken wrist, which was complete bullcrap. He's just lunging for the puck, and he breaks his wrist. I mean, wrap your head around that one. It just leaves you kind of it's just beside yourself. Like, how can that happen? How? You know, seriously. But, again, it's exciting. It's exciting, the goalie situation. I think there's promise there. We don't have a Spencer Knight, per se, who everyone believes, okay, that's a long-term starter. That's the next Carey Price. That's the next whoever. But I could see any of these guys being a good goalie for the Wild in the future. I could see Philip Lindbergh being a super good backup goalie in the NHL, if not a starter. Obviously, he's been kind of a platoon with UMass Amherst. That's like the regular UMass. Then there's UMass Lowell. That's the other one, basically. But again, goals against averages, in both cases, 17 games last year, 18 this year. I think he was getting between the pipes a bit more this year. Save percentage, just absolutely fantastic, about 93 the last 2 years. Winning record, blah, 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 11-4 in his freshman year. 1.6 goals against average, 4 shutouts. I mean, I'm just, that's awesome. And then sophomore year, 2 shutouts, 1.91 goals against average. Again, competition may be a bit stronger in the Hockey East there. But Lindbergh, well, we've had good success with Finnish players in Minnesota, of course. Again, Koivu, Backstrom, blah, blah, blah. Granlund. I'm just teasing around. Lindbergh, 21 years of age, though. So, yeah, 7th-round pick might end up being one of the good ones. I could see him at least being a damn good backup goalie in the NHL one day. Elite in the AHL. I think he's going to have a damn good career. I just got a good feeling about Philip Lindbergh. He has the makeup. He's 6'1", so he's kind of like medium-sized. 6'1", 188, maybe a little on the semi-small side, but so what? If he can stop the puck, that's all that matters. Like, can he play? Yeah, that's all that matters, right? So, you got about 4 goalies. Again, like Hunter Jones, Lindbergh, two goalies last draft, which is, again, very promising. Hunter Jones promising, younger, so he'll be a little while. Again, Matt Robson and Kaapo Kähkönen, and that's at least 4 goalies right there that are a candidate. I don't see Derek Berebo as a legit NHL candidate. We'll see. You just never know. Maybe he'll emerge, but to this point, he's more of an ECHL-level goaltender at this stage. But we'll see. I mean, he's super young as well, so things happen. So maybe you could consider him the 5th one right there. And we'll see. Interesting. So it's nice to know we're fairly strong at goaltender when it comes to the grapevine, this and that, for the Minnesota Wild long-term. Mitchell Chaffee again signed last week from UMass Amherst. Again, less games this year, so of course less points. As a sophomore, he had 42 points in only 40 games. That's just awesome. 18 of those goals. A right shot, right wing. Again, like Derek mentioned, that's extremely valuable for Minnesota. 6'205", so kind of medium-sized, generally speaking. The build is good. The height, like, you know, it's not short. 22 years of age. He could be a legitimate, at least, AHL player and go from there with the Iowa Wild. 16 goals in 30 games this year, so like about half a goal a game. That's not bad during the course of the season, 13 assists. Just kind of a solid winger leading into, again, last season. He had more assists than goals. This year, more goals than assists. His plus-minus has been outstanding the last couple of years. 21-plus as a sophomore, 16-plus this year for UMass. You can tell UMass not quite as good as they were last year, that type of thing. But still, the numbers there. Rockford, Michigan is where Mitchell's from, and 1998 is when he was born, early 98, so during my senior year in high school, January 98 there, as I was wrapping up high school finally. Boy, oh boy. So, obviously, nice, interesting signing. We'll talk about the possible free agent signing that intrigues me out of college as well. We'll see what happens. As I was digging, because there was a question on the Twitter account, we're about to head there in a second now, basically, about what college free agents we look at. And I kept looking, and all these guys, yep, all these names, they're already signed entry-level deal with this team, that team. They're on an AHL team now. and the rights to the Buffalo Sabres, blah, 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 blah. And then here's one that's still floating around, which could be intriguing. Of course, there's also that one Achilles heel that you know, yeah, there's always that one Achilles heel, and that's probably why he wasn't drafted years ago when he was a freshman, or even before he was a freshman, that type of thing. So we'll get to that in a moment. That Achilles heel that's slowed down hockey players in the past, obviously high-end draft picks, and like Benoit Pouliot, guys like that in the past. Let's get to that Twitter account. First, maybe I'll mention the Facebook page, though. Facebook.com/BraveTheWild.Minnesota. Of course, that will be in the show description. MNW Prospects, which I rudely didn't even mention on the last show, if I remember correctly. I don't think I did. I was just so distracted with my great conversation with Derek Velska last week of Crease and Assist. I completely forgot to mention MNW Prospects. Major shout out to them, of course. Again, everything's shut down, so we can still talk about prospects, just nothing current. Nothing like, okay, hat trick last night by, Hovanov. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be beautiful. Pavel Bennett, Merrick Skiba, Justin Back, Brandon Quast. You guys are just unbelievable. Unbelievable guys, keeping up with the prospects all over the place. I have the honor of, when I work for the page, of course, currently, I have the honor of covering the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League and the British Columbia Hockey League, BCHL, of course. I have the honor of doing that. Really appreciate that. Nikita Nesterenko was the only guy in the BCHL this season. But Alexander Hovanov, what an honor covering that guy. Whew, beautiful. Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And Sean Boudrias, big Sean Boudrias of the Screaming Eagles there from Cape Breton. And, of course, Hovanov from the Moncton Wildcats. Beautiful stuff. Quebec area and then British Columbia area with these players there. All trying to move from juniors to the pros. Boudrias, I could see him in the AHL, where apparently Hovanov continues to... There's always been talk about him and his agent. Do not see him going to the AHL. It's NHL or KHL. So let's hope it's NHL. Let's really hope and pray it's KHL. I don't want to find out he's going to the KHL. He needs to come to the NHL, even if he's not ready, which is kind of a scary thing, but... Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Obviously, the numbers have been absolutely fantastic for Hovanov, especially this year. Great season. Great season. We'll get to see, we still have to wait for Adam Beckman, which is a bummer because he's just too young still to go to the AHL. That's the bummer part. But the other one who I am, Giroux, yep, he will be in the AHL next year. And sounds like a great kid. Absolutely great kid. He was on Wild.com, an interview there. What a great kid. Really, really cool guy. I liked what I heard there. Sounds very friendly, professional, fun, good guy. Saginaw Spirit, obviously very successful career. He was one of the signings, of course, last week. Absolutely cool guy. I thought he was going to have a strong French accent. He kind of has that look, French-Canadian, obviously. But he's from Ontario, so... It's not like Quebec or anything, so that type of thing. 75 points in 61 games last season, plus 34 for the Saginaw Spirit of the Ontario Hockey League. He's only 5'10". He is a center, though. That's the good part. So we'll see what happens if he's one of those smaller, skilled French-Canadian centers that could end up giving the Minnesota Wild something special in the coming years. Connor DeWeer was taken quite a few picks ahead of him, and he's already in the OHL, or AHL, pardon me. And, kind of playing in that bottom six role, and his role increased a little bit during the course of the season. He was kind of a fourth-line center for a while for that club, but he's physical, solid guy, Connor DeWeer. Again, he signed his entry-level deal last year and then joined Iowa, per se, in the offseason. Of course, their season is suspended as well, which is depressing. Interesting note, though, for Connor DeWeer, despite the lack of playing time, he was a plus 10. Lack of ice time, we'll call it. Plus 10 during the course of the season in the 52 games he played. And, of course, definitely a playmaker who can get the job done. He's another left-shot center for the Wild. Prospects galore. And hopefully these prospects emerge and become something at some point. Let's get to Twitter. @BraveTheWild. @BraveTheWild. Let's see if I can keep up here. @BraveTheWild. Where was I? Derek Velska, @CreaseAndAssist, was saying, just got finished recording a podcast with Brave the Wild where we talk all things hashtag Minnesota Wild, including the most recent signings of Adam Beckman, Damien Giroux, and Mitchell Chafe. I don't know if I'll ever get that one right. I'll go back to that again. I'm sure you guys are rolling your eyes right now, aren't you? I'm sounding like Sid Hartman. So there's this guy named I'm just kidding. Okay, Mitchell Chaffee discussing the season. Mitchell Chaffee discussing the season. Cup resolve expectations and more. Thanks so much for having me on. And you are oh so welcome, Derek Velska. Western Wisconsin, but of course a Minnesota guy. He works in Western Wisconsin as a teacher. Awesome guy, but of course, again, talk about suspended seasons and stuff. Yeah, well, I know my wife looks like from the Spirit Airlines might be out of work for a little while, but at least we'll still get paid a little bit, not as much, which, yeah, it's a fun world we live in right now, really. Boy, do we need a miracle. So, time to start playing that song from, I forget what band it was. Is it Mike and the Mechanics? All I Need is a Miracle? Yeah, I think we need a miracle right now, guys. Derek Velska says, here is a link to at Wennesota. Yep, awesome, by the way. What a cool guy and great job. YouTube video about the North Stars leaving Minnesota that I mentioned in the podcast today. Yep, so do look it up. Look on YouTube, Wen-Esota. So it's like the E-S-O-T-A and then Wen, like W-H-E-N is the first part. Norm still sucks. Watch that video. Very cool. Yes, Norm does still suck, but very good. I'm not going to spoil too much, but it's just, it gives you a different perspective and it makes a lot of sense. I remember reading a bit about this too in the past, but it's still very interesting and I learned more and more out of it. And it does give you a different perspective and it also does show, you know, it's not just Norm that sucks. It's local politics suck and local, what the hell did they call that? That committee. The committee still sucks too because, well, you know, I mean, how hard is it to get stadiums in this place? I mean, luckily we got stadiums for everybody. Eventually we just gave up and started, you know, say, okay, fine. Here's your damn soccer stadium. Here's your St. Paul Saints stadium. Here's your TCF Bank. Here's your blah, 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 blah. It finally all just happened. But it was like, it's like World War III, though, every bleeping time we were trying to get something done. The Metrodome memories are unbelievable. Kirby Puckett's Game 6 home run. Jack Morris's 10-inning shutout. Ken Herbeck's grand slam in Game 6. And, you know, Frank Viola's gem, he pitched in Game 7. This and that. You could go on forever about all the miracles and the beautiful moments in that building, the Metrodome. But it was the Metrodome. I mean, it was a tent. So as beautiful as it looked watching Game 7 of the World Series on MLB Network last night, which I didn't get to see the whole thing because it was getting too late. Got to about the sixth inning. And it's just like 1 o'clock, time for bed, man. That type of thing. Beautiful those memories that was and how cool that place looked. At that, you know, it wasn't good. It had to go. It wasn't a good fit for baseball or football, really. It was okay for football, not good for baseball, this and that. So these committees suck. Let's just say all these committees suck. And, of course, we'll just read and or listen to Howe. Listen to Howe. He did an awesome job. Wen-Esota. Wen-Esota. Norm still sucks. And, of course, it's on the Twitter account. I retweeted it. I should retweet it again, frankly. I wish I could do it. Oh, now it's loading it. Whoops, that's not exactly what I wanted to do. But it's an awesome video. Do look it up. Norm still sucks. Wen-Esota. Great guy. And he said, yep, followed me and all that. Followed back and should have him on sometime. Great conversation there. Thank you again, Tim Hayen. Thank you, buddy, for retweeting the show, sharing the show on Twitter there. Awesome. Derek was saying, check out the latest show where I join Joey and discuss all things Minnesota Wild prospects. The future of the season, North Stars and Kaprizov talk too. We had questions from Jay Bushy, M Soda and M Soda, MN Soda 24. Check it out. And FYI to Minnesota too. I believe he checked it out and I appreciate that so much. Tim Nato as well got a well-deserved shout out on this one too. He was saying, yep, and he did. And yep, wild prospects and young players. That's the Twitter account for MNW prospects. Awesome. Awesome page. Thank you guys for having me on there. Going to give a shout out to Minnesota Wild Global as well. Facebook page, before I forget, I really don't want to forget. Scott Cavendish, because I really didn't even mention that one either. Scott Cavendish got that page started. Chance Kostick, David Kostick, Chad Walski, awesome people on there. Awesome people on there. Kathy, many great people on that page. Encourage you to join that one as well on Facebook. Yep, continued shares by Derek. Can't thank you enough for that. Michael McHugh was saying, I like the Coke versus Pepsi stories. I also want to see those suffering MN Sports docs. Yeah, it's true. It's so true, though, about the it's funny. Yeah, like I'll mention that again if somebody's listening that doesn't know what that means right there. It was the whole, the Coke versus Pepsi. That's part of the reason why the North Stars couldn't get into Target Center. But then there was the other stupid part, was that Norm Greed, the reason why he was with Pepsi in the first place, not that I have any offense towards either group. They're both, politically, I'm not a big fan of either one that way, but I like the taste of both. Let's just leave that as is. I like the taste of both. I don't like their politics very much. But we'll get to something else there. The reason why Norm Green had Pepsi in the first place at the Minnesota North Stars, they were with Coke. The Minnesota North Stars are with Coke, and he was negotiating a new agreement, whatever, a new deal. You know, you got to have a new deal, advertising deal. So he comes in the office with the Coke executives with a can of Pepsi in his hand, and he's like, okay, let's talk, guys. like, F you. Yeah, not necessarily F you, but yeah, I don't need you guys or anything. But yeah, that was his way of kind of, getting them to pony up. You get to work with the North Stars. We're God, and you're just part of the show. We're the show, And it's like, they're like, okay, Norm, F you, we're out. And then he's like, oh, okay, Pepsi, please, come. That's basically what happened. So great, great intelligent negotiating there, Norm Greed. Great job. regardless, if Norm Green is the main reason the North Stars left, he was still a dick, and everybody knew that. And Lou Nanny was friendly with him and all that, but he warned other people. He's like, watch out, you're not going to like this guy's management style. Watch out, because the guy's a dick, basically. My way or the highway. And what happened? Guy, the person he warned, I forget the name of the person he was working with, one of his assistants or something, quit the job almost within like a week or something. Like, this guy's a dick. And that's basically what happened there. That's all Winnesota. His book is set to be released in September. So, yeah, Winnesota's going to release a book also. Really cool. Winnesota says, this is the Twitter account, first three film drafts are pinned to my profile. They're about 15 minutes each. So they're actually pinned to his profile. So at Winnesota, you could look for that right there. It'll show up on the YouTube when you click on it. Norm still sucks. And, of course, other groups as well. I believe there's a Twins and a Vikings one also. Or no, there's definitely a Timberwolves one too. Let's see. We'll get to the questions here in a moment. Winnesota says, if you haven't checked out my man Derek's blog, do so. And the Brave the Wild podcast as well. Thanks for the shout-out today, bro. Appreciate you. And thank you, Winnesota, for the shout-out and the share. Can't thank you enough for that. Looking forward to meeting you. Thank you for that. Now we'll get to the questions in case you missed it. Blah, blah, blah. Retweet this. Retweet that. Tim McHugh. Yep, good guy, too. Yep, he was mentioned on there, and he was happy. What were me and Derek talking about on Twitter? What? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. That was me. I posted the dumbest trade ever because I'm just bitter. I'm bitter, damn it. The Minnesota North Stars trade Larry Murphy and Peter Taglianetti to the Pittsburgh Penguins and for Chris Dahlquist, who was okay, and Jim Johnson. Both of them were, like bottom pair defensemen. And Peter Taglianetti was like a bottom pair type defenseman as well. Larry Murphy was a Hall of Fame defenseman. So it was like, you're basically your bottom pair for trading away another bottom pair guy and a Hall of Fame defenseman, which it makes a lot of sense because maybe Larry Murphy wasn't gritty enough for Bobby Clark. Well, sometimes gritty is shitty because it doesn't mean anything sometimes. You're going to have gritty guys, but you don't trade away one of your best players. That's just flippin' stupid. I don't care how much you like him or don't like him. Maybe Larry Murphy demanded a trade. I don't know. And if somebody wants to call me out on that, go ahead. Maybe that is what happened. But if anybody has any information on that one, let me know. that was bad. Derek Velsico says, yeah, that one hurts. It's not quite as bad as the Brett Hull trade from Calgary that Doug Risebrough engineered, but it's pretty close. And don't forget, he traded away Brett Hull from Calgary. It's like, as much as we think of Brett Hull as a St. Louis Blue, and all that, and his infamous goal against the Buffalo Sabres, and, as a Dallas Star, and Detroit Red Wing, and all that. He was with St. Louis most of the time, but he was at the Calgary. Calgary, man, as good as Calgary was, imagine if they had Brett Hull all those years, too. Man, maybe they wouldn't have choked in the first round every bleeping year other than 1989 when they just tore through the league. It was their year. But, Doug Risebrough made so many bad trades. So many. Brett Hull's trade. The Gilmore trade, Doug Gilmore was the one that got him fired eventually. Doug Risebrough was fired for a reason, from the Calgary Flames. And there's a reason why he's not a general manager today. There's a reason. Derek says, he lucked out a few times. Brent Burns, yeah, that was super duper lucky. Pierre-Marc Bouchard, but beyond that, very small handful of late round picks. He was awful that way. Pierre-Marc Bouchard, though, he was a pretty high first round pick, and was he that good? You know, I mean, I'm not majorly disagreeing. Pierre-Marc Bouchard was a skilled son of a gun, and he was an iron man. And then all of a sudden, you know, that major concussion he had, that was it, pretty much. It was just, you know, he was like a bell. You know, his head was like a bell, ding ding ding. You know. After that, which was really sad. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic when I'm saying that. Pierre-Marc Bouchard, though. Yeah, and then there was talk about the Risebrough, and Risebrough pretty much had Brent Burns activated before he had recovered from a concussion or never actually sat down. They never even mentioned that he had a concussion. Like, there was just no knowledge of it, that Burns actually had a concussion during the course of, I think it was his last year with Minnesota when he was struggling and such. Weird situation. Like, Risebrough was fired for a reason, man. Oof, boy, and everybody knows that, obviously. That's why Derek Velsa calls him Dumpster Doug, because he was Dumpster Doug. So, let's get to that hashtag BTWMN and wrap the show up. If we can get some current ones here. I know there are a few, but I have to see through these. Unfortunately, some of the old ones are popping up at the top. It shouldn't be that way. The old ones should be later. Maybe there weren't too many. Let's see. March 25th, that's last week. Right? Yeah, it would have to have been. I think, yeah, 26 is when the show came out. I knew there were a couple new ones on here. I know Derek had a few. Derek, here we go. With the NHL talking to arenas about the availability of space in July and August 1st, do you think that will happen too? If so, will any fans be allowed to attend? Oh, that's kind of way up there, isn't it? That one's way up there. I think they're going to cancel the season. That's my guess. Unless a miracle happens in the next, you know, 2 weeks or so, I think, you know, I don't know. Maybe there will be something. Will any fans be allowed to attend? It all really, you know, it all depends. You know, is there a miracle coming here where this thing is going to be, it's just going to go away and things will get better, back to normal? I really want them to. I hate this. This is the weirdest, stupidest situation we've all been through ever. You know, this is weird history happening in this world right now. I'm not sure. Honest to God, that's a tough one. That's way up there. Availability. I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could answer that. It's kind of like, yeah, only God knows, honestly. I would hope by that time fans will be allowed to attend and things will get better. I'm just hoping. I'm hoping there's a Stanley Cup and all that, but I don't know what's going to happen. July and August, though, that's so weird and late, and I don't know. I don't know. Oh, man. Quill Copper's off. Yep, that's one we read last week. Here we go. Derek Velsa says, who is one player you wish the Minnesota Wild had that you feel the team could realistically acquire or had in its past? Oh, boy. One player I wish the Wild could have had in the past at some point, realistically. Sidney Crosby. Yep, yeah, if we won that draft, that would have been beautiful. Oh, boy. There are a lot. There was always talk about this Peter Forsberg trade. Who knows what we would have had to give up? He was already getting older. And then we wound up with Chris Simon. So that was extremely frustrating. One player I think that realistically could have happened via free agency or a trade or something. I was always hoping that it was Mike Modano was going to come back to Minnesota at one point. That would have been really cool. Oh, man. It's kind of tough. It is kind of tough to imagine some of these guys. My mind's kind of blanking on that one, but like Mike Modano would be way, way at the top of the list for me at the end of the day. Obviously, there were times, oh, boy, I wanted Jordan Leopold so bad, and then by the time we got him, he was just kind of meh. And, you know, he didn't have that great of a career because of that concussion and such. That just kind of derailed him, and quite a shame. I was happy we had him and all that. I remember how excited I was when we got Jason Pominville. He ended up being really nice, but then, you know, time, he slowed down very quickly as well. Trying to think. It would have been nice to get Gaborik back. That would have been really, really huge. Oh, man. who is the one Minnesota Wild player? So currently, a current guy that I think the Wild could realistically acquire, it would probably be expensive via trade, but, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I think, would be a nice addition to Minnesota. Sean Monahan, guys like that. Those are guys that currently, I think the Wild, Sean Monahan especially, is a realistic one because I think the Flames are going to make some moves. I don't want Johnny Gaudreau. There's something about him that bugs me. He just goes in his shell. He's like a turtle when it comes to the postseason. But I think Sean Monahan is a skill that would really help this team, and he's under 30. I think that's a realistic current player the Wild could have. In the past, back in the day, I mean, Modano coming back, you know, somehow, some way, would have been the most cool thing ever, as long as he wasn't too old already. The Wild could have got him from Dallas somehow, but the odds of that were probably so slim, so unlikely. But maybe that isn't realistic at the end of the day. Just, you know, draft picks, you know, drafting the right guy, this and that would have been nice. The big one, the really, really big one in 2005, Anze Kopitar. You know, that's a guy the Wild could have realistically drafted. Instead, we took frickin', so that's probably number one for guys in the past that we could have had. That's still a current player today the Wild could have gotten. Imagine if Anze Kopitar was on the Minnesota Wild instead of the LA Kings. Can you imagine? All because of we like Ben Mapulia, and like Derek said, his highlight package was like the same goal from a different angle. And it's another, yeah, it's like two or three goals from like 10 different angles. That's a lot of highlights. It's great. Where Adam Beckman, there's like a lot of different highlights, and they're like more interesting. That's always a sign of like, uh-oh, that type of thing. So realistically, Anze Kopitar is number one. Anze Kopitar is number one because he'd still be playing. He'd still be super good. The Wild could have drafted him, and they didn't. They bleeped up. And that's via draft, of course, which would have been the best way of doing it. You don't have to trade Jared Spurgeon and Jonas Brodin, or Jared Spurgeon and Luke Cunningham away to get him, that type of thing. Derek Fels continues, what would you say are the five best non-playoff games in Minnesota Wild history? I had a list in my head. The Gabrick five-goal game, that's like fourth or fifth or something. Defeating the Dallas Stars 6-0 in the inaugural season was freaking beautiful. The first win in Minnesota Wild history against the Philadelphia Flyers, that was big. You know, I mean, maybe that's not the best, but that's kind of a honorable mention. And the first game ever has to be top five. It has to be, because Minnesota hockey is back. The NHL is back in Minnesota. The first game, even though it was a boring loss to the Anaheim Ducks, that's top five for sure, because NHL hockey's back, and we waited 7 years, and luckily it was only 7 years and not 17 or 70 years, like Ottawa or something. I'm just messing around. Well, yeah, it was kind of like that, wasn't it, for poor Ottawa? It was like eternity for Ottawa to get a hockey team again. Seattle has been like 100 years. Could you imagine? And they still don't even have a bleeping name yet. Can't believe that. I thought they were going to name it at the All-Star break. And then they didn't. And now, oh, you can't dare name your hockey team now. How dare you? What are you bigger than everything else? You arrogant sons of biscuits. If anything, it's a nice positive distraction, in my humble opinion, if they call them the Seattle Kraken or the Rainiers or whatever you want to call them. If I believe that might be the proper pronunciation for that mountain. I apologize if I've been mispronouncing it all this time. Definitely the opener, the first game ever. 6-0 versus Dallas. 5-0 game for Marian Gabrick. That was a lot of fun. Non-playoff games. I mean, there have been some big ones. Beating Dallas again for the first time in Dallas. I mean, it was like about a year or 2 years ago for the first time in Dallas since pre-9/11. Can you imagine the real 9/11? That's top five right there. And so that's four. So you could say the first win in Wild history, or when the Minnesota Wild first clinched playoff berth. I can't remember when that was. Their first ever playoff berth. I can't remember which game that was, though. Damn. I can't remember which game that was. Or the stadium game when we blew out the Blackhawks. Those uniforms were cool. Some of you might disagree with me. I think those were cool uniforms. The stadium game, whooping on those Blackhawks with those huge snowflakes coming down. It was like a flurries. It was natural. It was beautiful. Natural flurries coming down, but snowflakes that were the size of silver dollars almost. That was pretty cool. Whooping on the Blackhawks. So that's top five non-playoff games. Pardon me for going on forever, but I suppose that's the point. It's good to go on for a while, doing some thinking. Justin Beck. Are there any, there it is, are there any college free agents you can see the Minnesota Wild being interested in or should be interested in? Well, they could be and should be interested in. I was looking for a while because I want to be prepared a bit for this. Josh Dunn, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, from Clarkson University, the Golden Knights. Not the Vegas Golden Knights, but the Clarkson Golden Knights. 6'4", age 21. He is not affiliated with anybody. He's not signed. 6'4", about 200 pounds. Centre. Shoots left because everybody shoots left. But he's a center. he has playmaking skills. This and that. I had something written down and now it's gone. What the devil happened to it? This one. Okay, Josh Dunn. Thanks to lastwordonhockey.com. So I will give them the site here. He's a sophomore for Clarkson University. They say a big centre, like a French accent, kind of a big centre who combines size with skill. Dunne, D-U-N-N-E, is one of the top free agents on the market. He put up 13 goals and 27 points in 32 games a season. Dunne has long reach and good hands. He also has good balance and a strong lower body, so he'll be very good in traffic. This allows him to be strong on the puck and make plays in the dirty areas of the ice, which I think is important as a center. That's me jumping in. He also has the hand-eye coordination to finish plays in front of the net, as well as the vision and playmaking skill to create scoring chances on the cycle. Dunn's skating could use some improvement. Ugh, it's always like this, isn't it? But that's why he didn't get drafted. You know. Dunn's—he's just a sophomore though, so he's still very young, 21 years of age. Dunn's skating—I think it's Dunn. Skating could use some improvement, but it really shouldn't hold him back because he's got the strength, the skill. He might end up being another one of those bottom six type of guys, like third line center, this and that. But hey, maybe he could be second line because of his skill and size. He's a big center. He's not a top line center, but he could be very helpful to the Minnesota Wild because we're going to need it. Koivu is obviously a large dude, but he's 37 and he's done. I think he's most likely done. Josh Dunn, I think, is the guy that I would list as a top candidate for the Wild to sign, and he's a guy that I think they should be interested in. Productivity in Clarkson's been good. Gotta like eliteprospects.com. All the information where you know right away if the guy was signed, if he is affiliated. He is from Missouri, O'Fallon, Missouri. So he's a U.S.-born guy. December 8th, 1998. I was already graduated from high school, but yeah, who cares? He played for the Green Bay Gamblers of the U.S. Hockey League. 48 points most recently in 17-18. 21 of those goals. He had 14 goals as a freshman, only 9 assists. So lacking in the playmaking a little bit as a freshman, but a plus 14 for Clarkson. And then was an alternate captain as a sophomore in 32 games. So both seasons, 32 games, of course, against shortened bleeping season. 27 points, 13 goals, 30 penalty minutes, plus 9 most recently. Didn't score in the postseason, except for the St. Louis AAA Blues under 18. The St. Louis AAA Blues way back in 14-15. Pretty young dude there at that stage. He'd have to have been like 16, right? Pretty young guy. 3 points in 4 games for that super young team, super young days, under 18. Under 16, yeah, for the St. Louis AAA Blues. 25 points back in 13-14. Copyright Dan Cole. Okay, sorry. That was the copyright Dan Cole season, I guess you could say. That's an inside joke if you ever listened to that show, which I haven't in a while, but he used to always talk about that. That's a guy I'd be interested in, though, Justin, if you happen to be listening, hopefully, or anybody that's interested in what I have to say in general. The Cornell goaltender, wow, great season. Matthew Matthew G, goaltender of Cornell. Matthew Galajda. I apologize. Goals against average 1.56. Save percentage 93.1 in 29 games. Ooh, and he's a free agent. He's a junior. I wonder if he's been signed, though. I should look that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody already signed him. I mean, hey, if you're not fully satisfied with all the goaltenders in our system, which, you know, we'll see. At the end of the day, he is unsigned still. So, I mean, in Cornell, they obviously have had some major success for many years. I don't think they've ever won a national championship, which is really sad. Maybe they squeezed one in 1 year, but his goals against average, again, just like Philip Lindbergh, under 2 his entire career. 1.51 as a freshman in 29 games. 1.85 as a sophomore in 28. 29 games this year, 1.56. Save percentage literally around 93 every year. Unreal. Great college goaltender. Does that mean he's going to be a great NHL goaltender? Not necessarily, because look at Adam Wilcox for the Gophers. He was unbelievable. And then the poor defenseman in front of him screwed him over in the national championship game against Union. I'm still bitter about that, obviously. And, well, that's how it is. Could be a very interesting one, though. Will Graber, center from Dartmouth. That's an interesting one. You don't hear about Dartmouth very often. 6'5", but only 185, so smaller dude in terms of size, but certainly height is very much there. Has he been signed? Yep. Nope, he's still with college as well. Dartmouth, again, you don't really hear about them a whole lot. He's 23 already, though. He shoots right, which is nice, so if you want to put him on the wing, but I don't know. I think he's hopefully more of a center. He's certainly a little bit, he gets more assists than Dunn, but I think Dunn might be the better prospect, per se, long term. But Grubber, 23 years of age from Colorado, Broomfield, Colorado. Interesting. But big dude, big tall dude, not huge size, but very tall. At the end of the day, you know, I'm just looking at centers religiously. Defensemen, I think we're cool for the moment. We've got guys that want to be called up at some point. We really do. Yeah, Josh Dunn's the one that I'm intrigued by. Honestly, I think he's got a little bit of that it factor that could help the Wild someday, at least as a third line center. And if you're super lucky, second liner. We'll see what happens there. But we'll see. Unfortunately, probably the skating. It's always the bleeping skating. Always. That's the crappy part at the end of the day. So let's get back to Twitter, if humanly possible. Thank you, Justin, for another thought-provoking question. Always appreciate that. And Derek as well. I don't think there were a whole lot, unfortunately. No, there really weren't. It was pretty quiet. But hey, at least you guys asked questions, some of you. Missed you, Jay, and some of the others as well. Ty Sandstrom, guys like that. Hope you come back and ask some more in the future. Hope to hear from you, Ty, and others over the course of time. That's a bummer. That is a bummer. Well, I hope to hear from you again at some point. Hope I didn't scare you guys off or anything like that. We'll see what happens long term. So with that said, just want to thank you guys again. MNW Prospects, of course. I mentioned the names, Justin Back, Derek Fels, no, Derek Felsky, that's different. Pavel Bonnet, Justin Back, Brandon Quast, Merrick Skiba, Chris Kreese and Assist, Derek Felska, thank you so much. Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, Chad Walski, Chance Kostick, David Kostick, Kathy Main, many others out there as well, awesome pages. Thank you guys so much for being a part of things. Facebook.com/BraveTheWild.Minnesota. And then, of course, at Brave the Wild is the Twitter account. Can't thank you guys enough for being a part of the show, asking the questions, or just commenting and being good friends and family members. And in the case of David and Chance Kostick, both big hockey guys, of course, for many, 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 many years, as a lot of you have been. Can't thank you enough. I'll have Derek on again soon, hopefully. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's, you know, it's weird. It's a fluent situation. It probably won't be as big and long of a show. But we'll see. We'll see how many topics we get into, this and that, and all that. But luckily, it's just like two clicks away now. There's not much figuring out with Skype and all that. Skype was never really that hard. As long as it works at all, we're good to go, pretty much. Again, apologize for making things weird last time at the beginning, though, because Google Hangouts just wasn't going to work for me, unfortunately. I can go on Google Hangouts as a guest, like immediately, lickety-split, but as the host, I wasn't set up for it ready. I wasn't set up for it, and it's kind of weird. I don't actually really get it, honestly, how you record on that one. So I apologize for that. Skype, though, worked out absolutely fantastic, and the audio quality was pretty good. Unfortunately, the sound wasn't balanced. For some reason, it always it makes the guest way, way louder than the host, which I've noticed, which is okay. It's good if you can hear the guest, but you got to be able to hear the host, too, sometimes, too. It's like I was a little too quiet. It was kind of weird. But whatever. I'll balance it out a little better next time. My apologies if that annoyed anybody out there that would like to hear a little tiny bit better audio quality. With that said, hopefully we can keep the questions coming. Maybe we'll let them build up for a while. If it takes 2 weeks, that's fine. You know, let them build up. You know, let them build up. It'd be better to have like 9 questions instead of 3. But the 2 or 3 I had, though, were awesome, and I can't thank you for that. I can't thank you guys enough for that, Derek and Justin. With that said, wishing all of you a good week, 2 weeks, good month, whatever it takes. If I'm back right away, I'm back right away. If not, you know why. Getting busy with the lawn work outside. With that said, hopefully we get hockey back again soon. Hope all of you take care and enjoy the spring and kill that damn virus.